Elizabeth Barrett as a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects we all struggle with in this conversation with the reluctant therapist. Good afternoon, Elizabeth.
Good afternoon, Hank.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy almost New Year.
I know. And you know, as the New Year comes upon us, I am really big in reflection and review of my own life. And I have to say that at this moment, I'm having grand reflections on the fact that I am not in my 20s anymore. Because for our Christmas presents, my husband and I got tickets to go see Dead & Company with John Mayer up in San Francisco. For those of you who are old Grateful Dead fans, I was so excited because I love John Mayer and he's fronting the band with some of the original members. And so we're both from the Bay Area, so we drove up to our old stomping grounds yesterday morning and to see the show with friends of ours. But in my head that doesn't realize that I'm not in my 20s anymore, I thought we can go up in the morning and have dinner and hang out with our friends and go to the show, and we'll drive back after the show and that'll be fine. That's a great idea because we'll be so pumped up after the show. But at about 3:30 this morning when we hit Atascadero, I was rethinking my plan. And we rolled into the house about 4 this morning and I am not in my full mind at this moment. If that's fair to say.
I am with you. I haven't tried anything that ambitious since, now that I'm in my autumn years. But I'm 52. It is something. You know, I just got back from Las Vegas where I spent some time with some old friends some of them I haven't seen in years. And I remember we were reminiscing about earlier trips. And there was one where my friend and I drove out from here to Vegas, spent about 3 hours there, then drove home.
Oh.
And there's just no way anything like that can happen.
Yeah. That is even bigger than...
That's insane, yeah.
That is incredible. But we did make it home safely, and, you know, lots of pretzels and little munchy things to keep me awake. But the show was wonderful, and it definitely was worth it. But, yes, the all-in-one-day thing was way too much. So I'm hoping that you'll give me a lot of grace today, because we are going to be looking at coming into this new year, what the new year means to us, and, of course, the fateful New Year's resolutions conversation that we have to have every year. And I'm just going to be curious, you know, I am curious to know what your take is on New Year's resolutions. And do you make them? And why do you make them or do you not make them? I don't know. Hank, are you a New Year's resolutions person?
I've tried in the past, but never with any success. I don't have any earth-shattering resolutions, the usual, lose weight, get more exercise, save money, that kind of thing. Usually lasts about until January 4th or so, and then it goes out the window. So I've kind of given up.
And it does, because it starts this cycle of defeat, and then our self-esteem goes down, and it makes it more difficult to change. And it's funny, because you mentioned that the top three are lose weight, save more money, spend less, and spend more time with family, those top three. And so we're going to address the whole idea of resolutions today, but I'm not going to beat you over the head with them, because I do think that our whole idea of resolutions, or end of the year, or starting of the new year's new beginnings, are very personal things, because there's a lot that we experience every year, and how we determine, I know, how we're going to move forward or how we're going to let go of the past. It is a personal thing. And to be honest, New Year's resolutions aren't healthy if you don't have a healthy way of approaching them. To just make these resolutions because you think you need to or should, or it's a great idea, or it's going to bump start your, you know, plan for the next year, it's going to bump start your weight loss plan, those are really setups to fail. Because the thing that's interesting about resolutions or the whole idea of change is that we tend to be most successful in change when we come at it from a place of love, when we're excited about this change because we're feeling really good about ourselves. And that's contradictory to what most people do, or what we think is that, you know, when we're at our lowest of lows, we're feeling the worst about ourselves, and we're going to somehow have the motivation to make changes at that point. But that's usually when we get ourselves in trouble, right? When we're in that self loathing mode. And then we say, well, I am so awful. I have to, you know, spend more time getting fit and healthier. I need to lose weight, or I'm going to, you know, quit smoking because I just am a loser and I don't deserve to go on. You know, that whole mindset sets us up to fail. So I want to talk today about the process of change and maybe help you to set up some small things you might be able to do to see progress throughout the whole year. Because the other key thing about New Year's resolutions is that they're not about short-term change. This resolution is about incorporating new things into our lives that are going to enhance our life over a long period of time. And even if it's not for 50 years, it should be something that we look at for the next, you know, at least 365 days so we can review how this year went. So we'll talk about those things also today. But before we get too far down the road, I do want to welcome Ashlyn into the studio today. Ashlyn, if you'll recall, was my producer this summer. She was my intern, and she's home from Reed College for winter break. So I grabbed her. I said, Ashlyn, come in and produce the show today. So Ashlyn, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Elizabeth?
I already said I'm exhausted.
Right,
so at some point, you might have to come prop me up with a board.
Okay. All right.
But I'm excited to have you here. And we're going to check in with you throughout the show and find out how school has been so far this quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to be back.
It's nice to have you here. And Ashlyn has been in charge of getting our podcasts up to date. So if you have subscribed to our podcast through iTunes, you can thank Ashlyn for not just my show, but all the shows that are posted up on iTunes. So thank you, Ashlyn.
Oh, thank you.
We also need to talk about updating my picture on our iTunes. So that put that on our checklist for after the show today.
All right, will do.
And if you have not discovered our podcasting, you can go to iTunes, go to KCBX, or go to The Reluctant Therapist, type in, search either of those, and you will find our shows there to podcast. You just hit subscribe. They'll go to your whatever device you use. You can find previous shows by going to kcbx.org, O-R-G, and under our News Talk tab, A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist is there, and you can stream our shows from the website. I have a website myself, thereluctanttherapist.com, and as I have admitted, I'm not great about keeping up with it, but I do try to post previous shows or at least post the shows that are coming up. Maybe that'll be part of my New Year's resolution, is to be more diligent about keeping my social media current. And you can always send me an email to Elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com, or join us on our Facebook page and like the page. And I do post our shows every week on our Facebook page. So we'd love to hear from you there. And you can leave notes or messages on our Facebook page. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I am Elizabeth Barrett, and this is our final show of 2015. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about my end of the year tradition, and, you know, join me with it or not, but it's something that I found has worked really well, kind of helping me get focused on what's coming up in the year ahead. And so I really love my calendar. I love getting that new wall calendar every year, and we have a certain space, and it has to be the right size calendar. And I really like, and I'll be doing this tomorrow, taking down last year's calendar and getting my new calendar and transferring all of the birthdays and anniversaries and important dates onto next year's calendar, and then starting to, you know, mark off what the different holidays are and different times we're going to be going on vacations. And I also love, during this process of transferring the calendar information, going back over this last year's calendar and remembering all the things that we've done, all the things, places that we went, appointments that we had, people that popped in. I mean, that calendar is a living journal of our yearly experience. And so I love taking that time to just kind of reflect and think and about and process the year that we just had, and then to look at this clean slate of a calendar with, you know, not filled up yet, and anticipate how we're going to be filling all that time. So that's one thing that I look forward to doing every year. And this year had some great monumental experiences. Back in June, when I went to Washington, D.C. to do the training for the Franklin Project, which we'll be talking about in June, as I kind of move into the meat of my project, trying to push the idea of service, national service, as a cultural expectation. And that's one of the things Ash and I are going to talk about today, I hope. I also welcomed my first grandchild. My daughter Kirsten and her husband Brian had my grandchild George Elizabeth Wojtowicz in October. So those two things really stand out for me. And there's been a lot of really fun things in between, like flying to Chicago to stay with my daughter at Northwestern and sleeping in the dorm with her, which was really fun, sharing her little dorm space and seeing where she lives. So those highlights are really I don't know, made life a beautiful thing in 2015. So I'm enjoying the year in review. The other tradition we have as a family is writing of letters. And I will say up front that my daughter Kelly is not a fan of the letter writing tradition. So everyone else but Kelly really, I think, enjoys. She does part of the letter writing tradition. But the letter writing tradition has two pieces to it. The first one is to write a letter kind of releasing all of those things about the year that you want to let go. Things that have dragged you down. Things that were not a positive experience. Things that were painful. Arguments that you had, bad experiences at work, whatever it is, you kind of write in that letter, releasing to the universe any of those things you want to let go from the previous year. And then the second letter you write is kind of a letter to yourself, to me at the end of 2016, and kind of talk about kind of where I am at this moment and where I kind of hope to be a year from now. And I'm mad at myself because I didn't read my letter from last year before I came into the studio today, because I'm always surprised to read what I wrote the year before, because it's amazing how in 364 days you can forget everything about what you wrote to yourself. But so writing this letter is kind of, it's an exercise in intention. It's putting down in writing kind of those intentions for where you'd like to be in a year. And there's something incredibly powerful about writing down intentions and how somehow they cue the psyche to start moving forward, to start acting on those intentions before we're even conscious that we are making steps towards change. When we write things down, when we make an intention in writing, our psyche grabs onto it and starts making room for that change to occur, that we've already started the process. So to take the time to write that letter of where I'd like to be a year from now. And then you seal that letter and write your name on the front. And the next year on the 30th or the 31st, you read that letter and it kind of inspires you to think about and reflect on the year and kind of write the next letter. The first letter that you wrote, the releasing letter, you burn that in a fire of some sort on New Year's Eve. And we kind of do a fire pit in our backyard and stand around and we can burn those letters and we let them fly up into the universe and let them go. So those are my main traditions when it comes to New Year's. As far as resolutions, you know, my resolutions are kind of subtle. Again, I am at peace with doing the resolution thing every year because I'm at peace with the complexity of change. That after all these years at 54, I finally am at peace with the complexity that change is and how difficult it is to get what it is we think we most want. Because change is elusive because it requires change. And at the heart of all of us, most of us, we don't like that discomfort of change. We want things to be different. I can't tell you over 20-something years how many clients have wanted change more than anything, would have given anything to change, and how few of them actually succeed. Because wanting to change but being okay with the actual process are two totally different things. And it's interesting because if you can discover how to change your life without having to change your life, you're going to be successful. And one of the easiest, simplest ways we can do change is to add something to our life instead of trying to take something away. So let's say one of your goals is to lose some weight. And usually when we talk about diets, and the diet industry is, you know, a $1 billion industry every year. It's such a money-making industry because so few people can successfully lose weight and keep it off, generally because it's a short-term lifestyle change. We go on a diet, we starve ourselves, or, you know, we limit our calories, or we eat only specific foods. And you can't live like that forever. And so it's limited how long the change is going to last. And it's limited to how long it's going to stick, because we can't successfully deprive ourselves over a long period of time. So if you really wanted to do something to lose weight, think of something you can add to your diet every day instead of taking something away. For example, add 2 extra glasses of water. Add an extra piece of fruit. Add, you know, an extra salad. Adding to your diet will make you feel luxurious, will make you feel like you're treating yourself instead of like you're depriving yourself or that you're trying to beat yourself up. So that's the essence of change in a bigger picture, is that the smaller the change we make, the bigger the results we'll have. And if you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. We are talking about the end of the year review, change, New Year's resolutions, and I'm going to open up the phone lines because I'd like to know where you are with all of this. Do you make resolutions? Do you have anything on your mind you'd like to tackle for this year? Because let's talk about it together. Because as great as the writing down your intentions in a letter form are, you can also say your intentions out loud, put it out to the universe in that way, and it starts your psyche in the process of change. So give us a call and let's talk about what that change is you'd like to make, and I can help you walk through those steps that might really help you be successful in the long term. 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of this conversation. 805-781-3875. I'm wondering how you feel about resolutions, if you're making one for this year. And if you're thinking about your year in review, I'd really like to know what were some of the highlights of your year? Because it is also just as important to take the time to recognize those things that have gone well in our life to help inspire us to keep moving forward. Because I think when we look at things in review, when we start thinking about how we'd like the next year to be different or how we'd like to change our life, we tend to approach it from kind of this negative space where we look at all the ways we did things poorly or all the things that went wrong in our life or all the ways that we didn't succeed. And then we try to move forward from this place of failure. And so let's try to switch that mindset today and think about the things you did really well this year. Think about the wins that you had, some of your successes. And coming from that perspective, what would you like to continue doing more of as you move into the next year? Because think about how different that would be when you're thinking about your resolutions or how you want 2016 to be. If you approach it from, this went well for me and I'm going to keep doing more of that. It's that simple adage of change. Add to the quality of your life instead of trying to take away. That's the start. And, you know, to take a thought from our friend Murray Bowen, who we've talked about quite a bit for the last few weeks, Murray Bowen, who's one of the founding fathers of the family therapy and family systems. And he said, you know, one of the things that stops families from moving forward or stops individuals from moving forward is that we fail to change because it's too painful to actually go through the change. That even if it's something we really want and we know will enhance our life, any sort of change is frightening and overwhelming because we're not really sure who we will be after we change. So Murray Bowen said, we will fail to change until it becomes more painful to stay the same than the pain we will experience moving towards a new self. So what do you think about that? 805-781-3875. Hi, Beth. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, I was thinking about, well, what you just said about change just now. I kind of ascribe to that thinking about when you're just tired of where you are, you're willing to take the risk to go through whatever it is to change. It's unknown, which most of us are afraid of. But something that's helped me a lot when I'm considering a change is to think about it in terms of, is this something I'm doing to myself or something I'm doing?
Nope. Beth is kind of cutting out. Are you still there? Beth, give us a call back because for some reason we didn't have a good connection. We just got to the good part of what helps when you're going through the process of change. But I'm curious to know, what does it take to change? What does it take to be successful for you? And as I said, I have some ideas. We have a lot of research on the process of change. And it's funny because when we look at the decision to change, usually people think about and know they want to make a change for 1 to 5 years before they actually make the change or steps toward the change. So we call that pre-contemplation stage of change. From 1 to 5 years, we'll kind of know in the back of our minds, oh, I need to lose some weight, or oh, I want to get more organized, or I need to spend more time for our family, or, you know, I need to spend less money and save more. We think about those things for a long period of time. Very rarely do we wake up in the morning and then say, I'm going to change my life from this point on and start doing it. And even if we've spent 1 to 5 years thinking about and contemplating change, the next step usually is the make it or break it step. Because when you wake up in that morning after the year or 5 years you've been thinking about it and you say, today's my day that I'm going to move forward with this change or this new thing I want to take on, the next step is crucial. And that next step has to be, before you run down to the diet center or you run over and sign up for a membership at the gym, is to sit down and write out what it is that you want to have be different at the end of this change. Do you want to look different? Do you want to feel differently? Do you want to respond differently? Do you want your relationships to change? You have to understand what it is exactly you want to have be different as you move through this change. And then you need to write down, what is the cost of this change? Because all change, even if it's a great change, all change comes at a cost, not just financial cost, but there's emotional costs and physical costs. If I'm going to start going to the gym, how will I find that hour a day away from my busy life to go do that? Or if I'm really going to commit to losing weight, I'm going to change the way I eat, how will I feed my family? Or how will I afford the different foods? Or what will it require for packing lunches? If I've decided I'm going to spend less and save more, how am I going, where am I going to cut money out, right? What am I not going to do any longer? Where am I not going to spend money so I can save more? The more you plan out and the more that you address those potential negatives, those potential setbacks, those potential costs, the more you're going to set yourself up for success. You won't be blindsided. So once you have that list of all the costs, you have that goal, right? What is it that's going to be different about you when you go through this change? And then number two, what is the cost of that change, right? What is it going to cost me emotionally, physically, financially, in my relationships to make this change? And then number three is, what is one tiny thing I can do towards that change? What is the small first step I can take? And as I mentioned before, you know, what is something small you can add to your life to bring you towards that change? Because change happens in tiny, tiny steps, because we have to sneak up on the psyche. Because our psyche doesn't like change at all. It would stay the same forever. Even if it's the most uncomfortable place it's ever been, it becomes familiar. And so it's very difficult to move our psychology, our psyche, our mind into a new place because it's always fighting to stay where it is. 805-781-3875. It looks like we have Beth back. Do we have a better connection?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, great.
Thank you for your patience.
That's fine.
I don't know what was caught there, but what I was saying is sometimes I think, is this something I'm going to do to myself or something I'm going to do for myself that really helps me? And I also just read, you were talking about short term, and I think we're just an immediate gratification society, you know? So I had an experience of losing weight, and it took me 20 years to put it on, but I wanted it gone by next Thursday, you know? And so I think that's why the weight loss programs appeal, because they promise quick and everything. But I've found that it's just the little things that you're talking about that I can do every day now that add up, you know? And so when I heard that Oprah was representing Weight Watchers, I thought, well, that's a great idea, and she enriches our spirit and, you know, does Super Soul Sunday and everything. And now she's, you know, involved in this weight loss thing. So I hope she can balance it, you know, because I know that, you know, she and I have struggled with some of the same things. So I think it's what's underneath our change, if we can look at the reasons that we want it, we're more willing to open our mind a little and make the change, you know?
So, Beth, what is one very small thing you did differently to help you towards your change?
Well, drinking more water was one. I also talk to people about wellness sometimes in my work. So when I'm talking to people about exercising more, I have to go for a walk because, if I'm not doing it, why am I saying it? Mm-hmm. You know, so accountability is a huge part, like using the buddy system or somebody else, you know, to bounce it off of and be accountable to.
Perfect. I love that. And I appreciate you taking the time, Colin, because I think the whole idea of weight loss, especially, is something that drives a lot of us or many people because it's elusive. And you brought up Oprah Winfrey. And I think in some ways she's a terrible representative for Weight Watchers because here's a woman that's got more money and more assets than anyone on the planet.
Right.
And she still struggles with her weight. And so it's twofold. One, absolutely, it has nothing to do with just eating right and exercising, because if it was that simple, right, she would be perfect. There is the emotional piece to it. There's also our temperament and our body shape. And so my hope is that if Oprah's going to represent Weight Watchers, that it's going to be a much more about owning who you really are and not having this one ideal.
Yeah, interesting choice of words, owning Oprah Winfrey Network.
Well, there you go, owning it all.
Yeah, absolutely. But if these programs worked, wouldn't they be out of business?
Well,
wouldn't we just do them once and be fine?
I know.
Anyway.
That's my business. But I think there are enough people that are successful that we can find our way. And Beth, thank you for finding a better connection and calling in. Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you. You too. Take care. Good luck with your letters this year.
Oh, thank you. I know. I've got to get home and write. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. The number to be part of our conversation today is 805-781-3875. And if you call in, you'll get a chance to talk to my lovely intern, Ashlyn Hatch, who is sitting at the microphone in the other room today. And so, Ashlyn, are you too young to have gone down the path of New Year's resolutions, or is that something that pops up when you're 20 years old?
I think it is to an extent. I think the idea of it is pretty pervasive across generations. I actually was just, scrolling down my Facebook feed, as you do, and I saw that one of my friends who graduated from college not too long ago, this time last year, set a New Year's resolution to finish a draft of a book that she wanted to write, and she then just posted a picture of her manuscript that she really had finished. So that was exciting, and I think, it was a good illustration of the ways in which New Year's resolutions can be really productive for people my age.
And I like that she set a year goal because, as Beth was saying, I think we tend to want to set a goal and see some results right away. And something like writing a book is like a birth process. It takes a while.
Yeah, exactly. And I saw throughout the year that she was really doing the sort of thing where she was setting milestones for herself. So it wasn't just, I'm going to have a book done by the end of the year. Great, exciting. She was helping herself reach that goal step by step.
Right. And Beth also, and something she brought up, was accountability and the buddy system and having someone you check in with. And one of the things I do love about Weight Watchers, if people are looking at plans, is that you have that check in and there's a lot of support and feedback and ways to help push us forward. And I love, the idea too, if you post something on Facebook or you have a resolution or you tell some friends, I go back to the whole idea of intention, right? When we set an intention out to the world, it helps us own it. It helps our psyche think, oh no, something's happening. Let's move forward. But it also, it adds a spark to our lives. So have you ever set an actual resolution for yourself?
Not that I can remember. I think what I am more in the practice of doing, especially these days, is sort of having these larger goals that I maintain for myself that don't really fit inside the box of a year. So it's not that, I want to have this done by the end of this year so much as I want to do this in my life. And then throughout the year, I work to feel good about getting closer to that goal by the time the year is over. So say I there's an internship that I've been wanting to do for a long time that I would like to get at some point in my young person career.
Mm-hmm.
And so I check in with myself toward the end of every year and say, like, okay, like, here's what I have done to get closer to being able to do that. And I hope that, you know, now I am closer, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not that I have, like, a specific thing that I had to do, and if I did it, I reached my New Year's resolution. If I did not, I failed.
Right. You don't want to set yourself up for feeling badly. And as Hank said at the top of the show, you know, he doesn't like to do the resolutions because he gets to about January the 4th and he's done. And then it kind of gets us into that negative cycle, right? That we say, oh, I'm going to lose weight or spend more time with family or do whatever that goal is. And then if we fail, we start to have that negative self-talk. Oh, I never can accomplish anything. I'm never successful. And it sets us further back, which is why I proposed in the show today to encourage you to call in and say, tell me some of the things that you did really well this year. What were some of your successes this year? What are some things that you felt really good about? And then let's think about resolutions that build on those successes you had, instead of kind of going the old-fashioned way of, here's where I feel like I really failed and I need to do better or totally change that. Because there's a reason why you're stuck. There's a reason why whatever those things that haven't changed in your life haven't changed. You're stuck there for a few reasons. Maybe it's your temperament and you have unrealistic expectations of who you're going to be. Because we can want to change a lot of things in our life, but we generally don't change our temperament. We generally don't change our personality. We generally don't change our body size or composition. We can't change our history. And so there's some things that are kind of fixed in our being. So wouldn't it be more powerful to take an accurate scan of who we are, to take an accurate assessment of who we are and our strengths based on our temperament, personality, body shape, fitness level, and level of responsibilities, and make goals from that place? Because I think the other thing that prevents us from moving forward is that we try to change things that are fundamentally rooted in who we are. 805-781-3875. This is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You're listening to KCBX. And Margie, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Ashlyn is on my mind. Ashlyn Hatch, this is Margie Noble, England.
Hi.
Hi, Ashlyn. Ashlyn was my student from, like, what, second or third grade?
Yes, it's true. Margie helped me set a lot of great goals for myself.
Oh, there you go.
Well, I just want to, I know Hank told me to keep it brief, but I heard you were there, and I had to speak to you, my darling, and tell you that I remember particularly so many things from our time together, but particularly when I was very ill, and your class at Montessori put together some notes and cards and pictures for me. And you made a whole book for me of beautiful, beautiful testimonials and pictures and poems. And, I mean, you were just, you were so much.
You're making Margie emotional.
Predicting who you are now.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. And I watched you grow up, and I listened to you, and I love you so much, and your whole family. You just were part of my life, a big part of my life at that time.
Margie, thank you for taking the time to call in. And just as I had asked, let's talk about those things that were positives in our life. And clearly, Ashlyn, you've had a positive impact on Margie's life.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I hope it goes both ways.
Yes.
Happy New Year, Margie.
Thank you.
So there you go, Ashlyn. I need to do it when you need a little lift up, pick me up, is come by the studio, hang out.
Yeah, it was a great day to come back. Wow.
So Ashlyn, when you came in to the studio today, I'd asked you when we were talking about the theme of the show, and the call that I've put out to all the listeners today is to call in and let us know, what are your New Year's resolutions, or do you have any, and do you want to brainstorm some resolutions with us? Because I would love to talk about, you know, how you can succeed and thrive in those goals that you want to set for yourself. Because New Year's resolutions don't have to be large and lofty. Now, usually the best resolutions resolutions are the one that add to our life in ways that we're already kind of doing things. What might help is to look at how you're spending your time in your life now. And if you, you know, think that your goal is to be more fit or to spend more time learning new things or to spend time helping others or spend more time with family, take a moment before you set those goals to see where you are spending your time now, because that's going to give you a really good indication of where there is room for change. Because another way we set ourselves up to fail is then we have a packed schedule in our life and we've decided we need to add more to it. But we have to be able to make room without causing any anxiety or discomfort in our routine. So I'd love to hear from you. You know, where are you with this New Year's reflection and processing? How was your 2015? How did it go for you? Was it what you'd hoped? Were there things that you would like to do more of? Were there things you'd like to do less of? Are you thinking about my letter idea where you write two letters for the 31st, one that you burn to let go of those things that kind of dragged you down this year, and one that you write to your future self as kind of a maybe we'll be here in a year? 805-781-3875. And so, Ashlyn, when I asked you about this before the show started, I said, so how did you, you know, spend your time or what's came up for you? And you mentioned that you've got three new projects that you're really excited about.
Yes, I am working on three new projects next semester. And it's really great because a lot of the work that I did here with Elizabeth over the summer is going to help me with those three projects that I'm working on in very different ways. So first, I'm voice directing a radio play. And I learned a lot about how to do that here at KCBX over the summer, just mechanically speaking.
And what is the topic? Did you write this play or?
A thesis student at my school wrote this play. It's a radio drama, and it's fun and exciting and brand new work. So it'll be the debut of this radio play called Call to Me. And then my second project, I'm assistant directing a thesis production called 448 Psychosis, which is about mental health, and it's a one-woman show where a woman sort of introspectively analyzes her own psychoses. So it's a lot of the mental health stuff that we talk about here every week. And then third, I'm working on a show, a devised piece called We the People, where we are making a show about citizenship and what it means to be a good citizen, and are especially inspecting the idea of what it would be like if a universal draft were instated in the United States, which I know is something that Elizabeth has been thinking a lot about in her Franklin Project work. And yeah, I think they're all really exciting, unique, kind of scary, very fun projects.
So of the three, which one, you know, do you wake up in the morning and say, I can't wait to get on that?
I would say all of them for different reasons. But the one that I think most occupies my mind is We the People. And thinking, you know, just looking around me every day and thinking about the ways in which my whole world might be different if people my age were just expected to serve in those ways.
And so when you talk about, because we haven't really talked about this idea of the civilian service and spending this cultural expectation that all young people 18 to 28 would give a year of their life in some way, either building trails or teaching in schools or helping with it, wherever that civilian service is. So why did this become a topic of conversation at Reed?
I think it partially became a topic of conversation because there was such an absence of conversation about civil service and the draft in general, really. Mm-hmm. I think at Reed, we find ourselves, of course, people are aware of the existence of the military and the armed forces, but we don't talk about the roles of those institutions in our society very often. We're more like spending time on our like higher level learning, our academics, our poetry, our mm-hmm. math. And so I think for a very socially aware group of liberals, though, it's important to think about the military and civil service and all of those things. So it really, I think, has been gaining a lot of traction at Reed just because it's a thing that, for better or for worse, has been completely out of a lot of people's consciousness for a long time.
So Ashlyn Hatch, my intern from this summer. I'm trying to think where I want to go with this because I want to dive into more of these conversations, but I also want to stick with our topic of change and reflecting on this past year and looking forward to this new year. So when you reflect on this past year, what is it that stands out for you, and what is it about this last year that kind of inspired the next year?
I think for me, what stands out is the very elegant way in which the things that I worked on in the past year are linking up to the things that I hope to work on in the future. And of course, like I said before, we sort of try to engineer it that way sometimes, right? We'll do a thing because we want to do another thing and do another thing. But I think I have been really lucky at the ways in which the things that I have done and the things I have wanted to do moving forward line up is like just really beautiful. And I feel very lucky about them.
And I'm lucky is one piece of it, but I don't think lucky is all, because I think one of the things you said is key and leads into this next part of the conversation about change is that we have to be open and aware of those opportunities that are coming, right? That if we can set a resolution, we can set a goal for, you know, I would like to be more active in my community, or I want to learn something new, or I want to, you know, get myself to a place where I have an internship in New York, whatever that goal is. Or, you know, in my head, I have these dancing ideas of I want to grow this program, or, you know, I want to see the civilian service take off. I have these kind of these general goals of things I'd like to see happen and talk about them. And then these doors do open, these opportunities, which are wonderful. But then there's that next step afterward, which is how do I commit myself to one or two things that I'm actually going to do something about? Because I think a lot of people do great with the, I have this general idea, wouldn't that be fun? And, oh, I'll go down this path a little, and I'll go a little down this path. And then we get frustrated. It's like, why did I never complete a task, right? Why didn't I finish writing that book? Why didn't I grow the show? Or why didn't I get that play written? Or why didn't I get that new job I really wanted? And I think one of the pieces that's missing, because people will say, well, she was so lucky because she got that book written, or, oh, she was so lucky because she finally, you know, got that job that she dreamed of. But it's really not luck, because if you look at people who succeed with change in their life, they do something that a lot of us don't do, which is they set the goal, which I'll do. I always have that goal. I have this vision in my mind. Two, we'll write down those steps that we need to do to get there, some things that might need to happen. Three, we take advantage of opportunities that come our way. But number four is the one that a lot of people think they're doing, but they don't. And that is working towards their goal every day. Every day, spending some time, like an hour or 2 hours, whatever, but setting aside time every day to work on that goal, because that's where at the end of the day, when you are successful, people go, you're so lucky that that happened to you. But what they don't see is that every single day you got up and worked towards that goal in some way. You can't just put the intention out there and then hope that it's going to happen, or put the intention out there and spend, you know, once a week and then hope that it's going to. And I think that when I look at the areas of my life that I haven't completely gotten to the level that I want to, I know it's because I haven't done the daily discipline or the daily investment in that area. You know, that daily investment time was spent maybe catching up on some things I have recorded, right? Or spending some time, I don't know what, sleeping more. As we're talking about change and New Year's resolutions, and this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist, I'm Elizabeth Barrett. We'd love to hear from you, 805-781-3875. It's a beautiful day outside. It's a beautiful reminder that every day that we wake up, we have an opportunity to do things differently in our life, just as the weather changes, just as we can go from rain and clouds and storm. We are always going to find a time where there is sun and beauty and warmth. And life is like that too. And so this is a time that you can sit down and kind of reflect on all those things that went well in your life. And I'd love to hear about what those things are, because it's important to stop and acknowledge those things that went well, those wins that you had, those things that changed your life. I mentioned the birth of my granddaughter and traveling to Washington, D.C. and working on the Franklin Project. Students that I met throughout the year who wrote me emails from their travels this summer, things that really made my life a beautiful thing to reflect on. And so as I look forward to moving into 2016, I'm trying to really focus on goals that continue to enhance those things that were already going well. Instead of trying to add something totally new and different into my life, instead of trying to do more of something, which there's always a million things we could do to improve our lives, I'm trying to keep building on those things that I'm already doing well. Because I understand that process of change. And quite often when we start to feel bogged down with change, when it starts to feel routine, you know, maintaining an exercise program or eating well all the time or trying to spend more time with our family, when we start to kind of get used to the routine, it starts to feel kind of like a rut. It's easy to let those things go and stop paying attention to them and look for another shiny object that we want to spend time on. And that gets us into trouble because we have to stay committed to those small changes in order for them to be long lasting. And when we talk about change, again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, let's talk about change from really, really small steps and not, I want to lose 50 pounds. But instead of saying, I want to lose 50 pounds, say, I really need to feel better about my body. I want to love my body more than I have in the past. And what's the best thing I could do for my body today? And that would be to add extra water into my diet every day or add two extra pieces of fruit. Instead of saying I need to go on a diet or I need to starve myself or I need to, you know, lose 50 pounds or I'm not worth anything in life, come to this choice from a place of love. I want to love my body better, and my body does better when it gets more water, when it gets more fruit, and to add to your life. The same with time with our family. Instead of saying, oh, I need to stop doing all these things and spend more time with my kids or spend more time with my spouse, go from a place of love and say, what's something I love doing? I'm going to share that with my kids or with my spouse. 805-781-3875. Liam, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. Changes. Yeah, I've had so many changes this year. I've had 3 kinds of cancer, and it has brought me into relationship with wonderful people, and people who are telling me that I am a miracle myself. And, I've been such an active person all my life. I'm 71, and now I'm kind of reduced to sitting around and reading, but I met so many wonderful people.
So through the dark part of the cancer experience, you've learned to appreciate people in different ways.
Yes, they have come into my life because of that.
And when you were so busy, you probably didn't have as much time to spend really focusing on your relationships with other people.
That's true. Yeah, I've been very active.
And are you healthy now? Are you a clean bill of health?
No, not quite. Mm-hmm. I hope to be soon.
Okay, and what are you reading these days, Liam?
Oh gosh, a lot of magazines, and one author in particular. Look at it. Pico Iyer.
Oh.
Iyer. Mm-hmm. And he's a travel writer. Mm-hmm. And he's just, I just love his books. I actually called him up and talked to him on the phone for about an hour.
Wow.
Very nice man. So that's the mage thing.
I love that, Liam. Well, and thank you for calling with the inspiration about how you can go through something as devastating as cancer. But in the midst of all that, you found new light in your life through these relationships with people, talking to an author that you respect, and having more time to just think and reflect and read.
That's right.
And I appreciate you taking the time to call in, and I'm going to send you good, healthy vibes for the 2016.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you, Liam. Have a great day. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and we are talking about reflecting on this year. We get to the end of 2015, and what is it that you're ready to let go of, and what are some things that went really well that you would like to continue on into the new year? My intern, Ashlyn's here talking about her experiences over the last year, which she didn't mention, was being president of her university at Reed. And now that that's coming to an end, it's opened up more time to focus on your theater major and doing these projects. And all of these seeds were kind of planted throughout your year. And I'm thinking about, you know, my year ahead and where I want to be, you know, a year from now. And it's interesting that with the birth of my granddaughter, I'm unsure of what the next year looks like as far as that role as a grandmother. And I'm just learning about that piece of my life. But I'm also being really honest with myself to look at all of the things that I love in my life as it is. And how do I now make room for the grandmother piece? You know, there is going to be a process of letting some things go or being more efficient with some things that I'm doing in order to be the kind of grandmother that I want to be. So we have those compromises we have to make. And if you're thinking about New Year's resolutions, if you're thinking about sitting down and kind of reflecting on this year and making these goals for the next year, I came across an article in Time Magazine online, and they listed, just so I could be technologically savvy, they listed 38 different websites that you could go to help kind of enhance your change for the next year or kind of help you to stay accountable for those things you might want to do differently. And there are such websites like Fitocracy, if you want to work on being fit, so it helps you keep your program. Eat This Much, if you want to help track the food that you're eating every day. There's a website called Daily Yoga, to help you stay current with that. I love this one, the website Self-Control, for people who want to be less distracted and more focused in what they're doing. But I think, how ironic is that I'm going to go to a website to help me have self-control so I'll be less distracted by all of the websites that I go to? There's something ironic in that. And for people who want to work on their focus skills, there's a website called Forest to help you kind of hone in and stay focused, especially if your goal for this year is to write that long lost, that novel that's been kind of hanging over your head, or, you know, to conquer some sort of project of getting organized. I was looking in my kitchen today and I realized, and I should be ashamed, but I'm not, to say this, but when we moved into that house 20 something years ago, I lined all the shelves very carefully with shelf liner paper, and I've never changed it and never thought about it. And it just, for some reason this week, when I was thinking about all of the projects I want to do in 2016, for some reason I became obsessed with the idea that I needed to change the shelf paper in my kitchen. And I thought, that is a great lesson. Because when we have things that we know we need to do, but they're a little challenging, like the things that are on my plate right now are a little challenging. I have the skeleton of these projects I want to do, but the actual going in and working every day on those projects takes some discipline. And so it's interesting that my psyche, knowing that I need to either put some more discipline into these projects, or I can find a shiny object of something else to take my mind off it. And so I think that's why my brain is all of a sudden obsessed with wanting to change my shelf paper in my kitchen. So I'm going to try to bring my focus back and just choose one or two things I can do every day to enhance my life. The other one was Skillshare, which I thought was an interesting app, because for a lot of people in their list of things they would like to change or do differently or add to their life in the next year is learning new things, learning something new. And Skillshare, I guess, is a whole website devoted to online learning and being able to take classes online. And so what a great and kind of non-stressful way to enhance your life. So a couple things to remember as we're moving into the New Year's resolutions time, New Year's Eve, 2016. There is some beauty to setting that intention, to taking a moment to reflect, to help your psyche kind of let go of the previous year and anticipate the new year, and to choose a couple things that you've already done well and to continue on with them. But to please remember that you need to take into account your temperament, your body shape, your body size, your personality, and the responsibilities you already have in your life. Because if the first thing that sets us up to fail is to think that we're somehow going to change fundamentally who we are and become a completely different person. And I would encourage you to instead look at who you are realistically and move towards change that is actually reflective or in keeping with who you are. Unless you're an abhorrent person that you completely can't live with anymore, then make a small change. But to try not to overreach on those change areas. And so, Ashlyn, final thoughts for this coming year, that you have these three theater projects. You finished your year as the president of Reed. What does the next, what 2016 look like for you? Will I see you in my studio this summer?
Oh, I'm really excited about this year because I'm not quite sure what it's going to be yet. This time last year, I knew in a lot of ways exactly what my year was going to look like moving forward. I knew I was just starting my job as student body president. I knew that I was going to have to spend a lot of my time at meetings. I knew I was going to be getting a lot of great opportunities that had to do with Reed student body governance. And I really knew that my schedule was going to be, yeah, very packed with a certain set of things. This next semester, I know that I'm going to get to work on a lot of exciting stuff, but I honestly don't know what those projects are going to end up looking like, and I don't really know what I'm going to be doing over the summer, and I am excited about it. I'm excited to sort of spend time wading through the confusion and making sense of those things and learning from that process.
And so I think that's a perfect way to kind of wrap up our day today, because sometimes when we think about change, and this is also a gift from Murray Bowen, our founding father of therapy, sometimes we might look at all the things we want to change and all the costs that that change is going to bring to our life, or all that's going to be required for that change. And we may find that the best change is no change at all. That we might find that this place we think we have to leave is actually the perfect place to be. And so for you, you found yourself in this perfect place where you've set yourself up with some things that are going to be hard work, some things that are the unknown, but you know that if you just stay with where you are, more opportunities will come. And I think that's as important of a resolution as anything else, is to say, I'm going to be open to those changes and opportunities that come to me, and I'm going to take small steps towards them instead of trying to jump right in and change it all. And as always, I thank you for being a part of this conversation. We'll be moving into the new year with a lot of great new shows and fun guests, and I appreciate you being a part of our community. And I'm going to send you out with a song in honor of one of the biggest changes in my life this year, the birth of my granddaughter, Georgia. Thank you for supporting Public Radio KCBS.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through. Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia, Georgia, a song of you comes sweet and clear as moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out to me, other eyes smile tenderly. Still in peaceful dreams I see the road leads back to you. Georgia, Georgia, no peace I find, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia, Georgia, Georgia. No peace I find, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind, on my mind, on my mind, on my mind. On my mind, on my mind, on my mind. On my